as you know, we've been working through Advent, and now we're in our fourth week. And as we've been working through Advent, we've been revisiting maybe some of the familiar stories during this season. A couple weeks ago, we talked about Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad, who the angel Gabriel came to visit to let him know he would be having a son. Last week, it was Mary, and talking about Gabriel visiting her and letting her know that she would give birth to the Messiah. And now this week, we're looking at Simeon. And the reason we're going through these stories, sometimes they get to be so familiar, we maybe lose sight of some of the important details and the things that really can resonate and draw us back into what really is at the heart of this Advent season. And so we're going to look at Simeon today. And I'll confess, I've never really preached on Simeon before. This is the first time for me. But the Simeon story has always kind of been in the back of my head. And like I was talking about, sometimes we lose sight of certain details. In my head, I think I'd always thought Simeon was a priest. He's there at the temple. And right after this, it talks about the prophetess that they also see, who also recognizes Jesus. And so in my head, I think I just thought, yeah, he's a priest. But if you read and look, in fact, if we could pull up the first slide, you'll find that Simeon is just a guy. He's just a guy. He's not a religious official. He's not a priest. He's not a prophet. He's a guy. But he's a righteous and devout guy, is what it says. And it says that he's waiting for the consolation of Israel, which I want to clarify a little bit. What that means is he's praying in earnest for the coming of the Messiah, really. That's what's going on there. And then the next part, and this is also very important, is it says that the Holy Spirit is upon him, and that the Holy Spirit has revealed to him that he will not die until he sees the Messiah. Now, I want to take a little aside here, because sometimes this is again one of those details we can miss. The fact that Simeon, who's just a guy, has the Holy Spirit is far more significant than you might even realize. We're on this side of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit has been poured out on people so that we can confess and believe in Jesus. And the Holy Spirit has been poured out on all people. In the case of the Old Testament and building up to when Jesus is born, however, the Holy Spirit is very selective. The Holy Spirit only comes to certain people for certain times and certain tasks that needs to be accomplished. One of the first recorded is actually the artisan who created the Ark of the Covenant. The Holy Spirit came upon him, and that's how he was able to build the Ark. Also, King David. As we talked about him over the last summer, King David was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Before him, King Saul, but King Saul kind of got into trouble with God and disobeyed, so he lost the Holy Spirit. There's also the judges, Samson, Gideon, Deborah, those judges. And then, of course, certain prophets that God called to give messages to Israel, to call Israel back to himself. But only a few people, very few. And so the fact that Simeon is one of these people is incredibly significant. Now, the Holy Spirit is starting to become active in this time. We hear in the story of Zechariah that John the Baptist is going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. And in fact, when Mary comes to visit Elizabeth, we're told that John the Baptist leaps in the womb, recognizing the voice of Mary and knowing she is the mother of the Messiah. And of course, Mary is able to have a child because of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is starting to become more and more active, but now this guy, Simeon, also has the Holy Spirit. So that's something very important to pay attention to. The next piece, I want to come back to that waiting for the consolation of Israel piece. That word waiting is also very significant. Now, the great sage Tom Petty, I know, said waiting is the hardest part. And I think when we tend to think of waiting, we tend to think of, you know, you're hanging out in the doctor's office, the dentist's office, you're killing time, you're waiting for them to call you back, and usually it's not a pleasant experience, but, you know, you're hanging there and you're waiting. This is not the kind of waiting that we're talking about here in the Bible. The Greek word in this case is pros dekomai. The Hebrew word is kavah. And it is not a passive waiting. It is an active waiting, that you're actively seeking and expecting and awaiting movement. It's a high level of involvement, that you are pressing in with God and seeking his intervention and his activity in your life. It is pressing in on God and asking him to fulfill a promise. And that is the kind of waiting that we're talking about here. It's literally binding your heart to God and asking for him to intervene and to be active in your life. Another way to put it is it's our faith stretched out toward God. In fact, sometimes in the Bible, you'll hear this word kavah being translated as having faith in or trust in, but it's waiting on. It is an active seeking and knowing that in the process, you will be changed. A good example maybe might be when you hear you're expecting a child. Your life changes. You're starting to get ready. There's so many things you have to take care of. There's doctor's appointments. You need to find a pediatrician. You got to get your house ready. There's all these things you need to take care of. And in the process, you're also going through this moment of, am I ready to be a parent? What do I think of all this? So there's a changing in your person as well. Moving would be another example if you've ever gone through the wonderful experience of moving. You have a change of address form. You got to get boxes, bubble wrap, you name it. And then you got to go through this painstaking process of trying to go through your stuff in your house. And it is not fun. And you're going through all of this. And as you go through it, though, you're mentally preparing yourself to leave where you are and go somewhere else. And again, that can have an impact on you, and it can change you. So this is the kind of waiting we're talking about here. It's biblical waiting is what we'll call it, kavah. And that is exactly what Simeon is going through. It says that he has on his heart the coming of this Messiah. And so he is pressing in, kavah, waiting on God, praying in earnest for. And we are told because of that, the Holy Spirit comes upon him and is changing him and is growing him. And so if you can pull up that next slide. It's changing him so much, he's even speaking prophetically. The Holy Spirit is at work, active in his life, getting him ready for this moment. And it is, and the Holy Spirit has told him, this is the day. I've gotten you ready. Today's the day. Go to the temple. And so the Holy Spirit, we're told, leads him to the temple. The Holy Spirit shows him who the Messiah is. And he takes Jesus up in his arms and says, now is the fulfillment. Now you can let your servant depart in peace. And then he says something so profound, we probably don't even realize how profound it is. The Messiah was always anticipated to be for Israel, for the people of Israel. He is saying the Messiah is a light to the Gentiles. Even through Jesus' life, when he walked the earth, Israel kept thinking a Messiah was coming just for Israel. Here, Jesus is just born, and Simeon, flowing in the Holy Spirit, knows so much more, and is prophetically saying, no, this Messiah is for the world. So you can see how much the Holy Spirit has changed Simeon, and he can speak prophetically into the situation, and he's not a prophet. He's just a guy. So if you could go to the next slide. Then he presents the child back, and he starts speaking about what Jesus will do and how he will be responsible for the falling and rising of many of Israel. And he talks about the thoughts of people's hearts being revealed because of who Jesus is. And then he prophetically refers to the way Jesus would die on the cross, referring to how Mary's own soul will be pierced. Simeon's just a guy, but the Holy Spirit is working in his life. He has felt God's call. He was kavah, waiting on God, pressing in on God. And in the process, the Holy Spirit came and changed him and prepared him for this purpose of praying for the Messiah to come and then being able to come and see the Messiah before he would die and bless and celebrate the arrival of that Messiah. So that's Simeon. How does Simeon connect to our lives? First and foremost, the same Holy Spirit that's operating in Simeon is the same Holy Spirit in you and me. That Holy Spirit is the one who helps us confess Jesus as Lord, to believe in him. And when we come to believe in God and the Holy Spirit comes to us, if you imagine like a pilot light, you know, like a gas grill or a gas furnace or something like that, we receive the Holy Spirit as a pilot light. But here's the interesting thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us to change us, to transform us, to help us to become more and more like Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is only going to do that if we invite him, if we let him. The Holy Spirit doesn't come and take control over us or dominate us. No, the Holy Spirit waits and waits to see if we want him to be at work in our life and change us. And as you can see in the example of Simeon, he was pressing in and waiting on God, just as the Holy Spirit was waiting on him, and the Holy Spirit came and changed him and transformed him and prepared him for an amazing purpose. And here's the thing. That same Holy Spirit wants to prepare you for a purpose that God has intended for you, uniquely for you. Are you listening? Are you waiting on the Holy Spirit? Are you inviting that Holy Spirit into your life to change you? Are you kavah, pressing in, waiting on God, inviting him, knowing that he wants to work in and through you? And that is our purpose, to be transformed, to become like Jesus, and to serve a calling that he has uniquely crafted for you. And it doesn't matter if you're a high school senior or a senior citizen, God is not done with you yet. You may be thinking, I only have so many days left. You're still here, and you're still here for a reason. God is waiting on you because he wants you to wait on him. Kavah, press in. Last year, I preached on Mary, and I talked about Gladys Allward, a woman who, as a British woman, felt led and called by the Holy Spirit to go to China. And it's an amazing story. If you don't remember, I encourage you, go back or just look her up. She is a profoundly amazing story about her being obedient to God's call and going boldly and seeking and answering what God was calling her to do. And I wanted to circle back to a quote that has never really left me of hers because it really rings true for me. And I think it'll probably really hit on this point as well. She insists that she was not God's first choice for being called to China. She said, "I wasn't God's first choice for what I did in China. I don't know who it was. It must have been a man, a well-educated man. I don't know what happened. Maybe he died. Maybe he wasn't willing. And God looked down and saw Gladys Allward, and God said, well, she's willing. Are you willing? If God is calling you to something, are you listening? Are you willing? Are you willing to say, here am I, God, I'm your servant, change me, help me, let me serve your purpose? Because God is waiting on us. And as Gladys was saying, if we aren't responsive, he'll find someone else. But I think in the end, we want to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. Just as I was waiting on you, you turned back and waited on me. You pressed in, you kavah, you sought me. You sought the purpose I wanted to do in your life, and you let my Holy Spirit be at work in you, changing you, and leading you to the purpose that I called you for. So friends, the Holy Spirit is calling. God is calling you and waiting on you. Will you wait on him? Will you kavah, press in, and actively seek him to change you, to work in and through you, to lead you to your purpose? Let us pray. Oh, dear God, thank you so much for showing us the life of Simeon. He's just a guy, but a guy who sought you and a guy who was willing to be your servant, to let your Holy Spirit work in and through him, to change him and to lead him to your purpose for his life. And Lord, you are calling us the same way. There is a purpose you have for each and every person in this room, God. But we need your Holy Spirit to do it, and we need to be willing to let your Holy Spirit move through our lives, changing us, transforming us, and leading us to what you want us to be doing. So, Lord, come, Holy Spirit. We invite you. You are waiting on us. Help us, God, to wait on you and invite your Spirit in our life in its fullness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.